Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And it's that time of the early evening that we discuss everything that affects our bread and butter. We look at economic affairs. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. And, you know, when it comes to what needs to be done, the question that should always be asked is that, what is that I can do for my country instead of what my country can do for me? And we are greeting you. We understand some of you are on your way back home. Some of you are working night shifts. Some of you are just starting work now. We are greeting the men and the women in the uniform, those who do not sleep, but making sure that Namibia is protected. And we are also greeting those essential workers that are making sure that you are safe, the paramedics, electrical guys, and gentlemen. We are also greeting the most important people. Those are the security guards and also the police officers, particularly those who are protecting properties and human lives. And the conversation for today, we are going to operate from this side of Corihas, but deep down the mountains in a place called Pietrasfontein, that is 26 kilometers from, you know, Corihas. And we are going to understand what is really happening, particularly in development and also human activities too, because you understand that there are some people who are deep down the mountains, but they are not giving up. They are making sure that they survive with what they have, and they are also making sure that life is continuing. And also to compare the perspective, to see sometimes you may think that you are suffering, sometimes you may think that you are faced with a difficult situation, but you really find those Namibians who are making sure that no matter the situation of the jungle, no matter how dry the environment is, they push with what they have. That's why in the course of the conversation for this evening, we are also going to look at that perspective and also the unique elements of human beings, because there is a saying to say, human beings, we are social animals. Some philosophers, they say, we are, you know, political animals, and we are born to organize ourselves and survive. And we are also going to see those techniques also, and also to draw a perspective to say, in the case of dry season, in a case of drought, in a case of, you know, where there is no hope, there is always a connection between a human being and also nature, and also the activities that are being done. Because, you know, it's quite interesting also to see a unique perspective, because me being in the field, these are some of the places which I enjoy, but also to understand, to say, when you are speaking about business, when you are speaking about economics, how are people of Namibia surviving? What is the various form of, you know, economic activities? How do they produce their own food? What is the level of business? What is the cooperation and coordination, particularly at the community which is deep in the mountains and accommodating around the household of 25 households? And how are they connected to economic activities of the country? And we also look at the aspect of financial situation, to say, even if you are deep down the mountains of Namibia, deep down villages and farms in the mountains, there is always an element of survival. And I was also interested also to see, how do these people come together? People are celebrating, you know, love. They are connected, and also they have unique ways of dealing and looking at situations. But before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite prudent, it's quite important to look at what is really happening, particularly in the continent of Africa. You know, looking at the Horn of Africa, it was indicated that there is a bitter war of words escalating, especially between Ethiopia and Eritrea. And there is a deterioration of diplomacy, and also countries preparing themselves to engage themselves militarily, particularly that side of the Horn of Africa. And looking at the relationship between Eritrea and also Ethiopia, is not a new conflict relations, because if you look in the history, you'll be able to understand that Eritrea is a country was it got independence in the early 1990s there from Ethiopia, and it seems like when it comes to when it's coming to terrorism, when it's coming also to support of the rebels, particularly in the Tigray regions, there is still aspect that these countries, they still have interest on each other, and the border situations are escalating. And the situation of Ethiopia and Eritrea, especially that reapproach of power, and also that also led to the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Abiy Ahmed, to be considered, especially for Nobel Peace Prize in 2019. It seems like the situation is not ending, because history is also indicating to us that the two governments cooperated against the rebels in Ethiopia Tigray region during 2020 to 2022 conflict. But that peace accord that was signed, it seemed like it's deteriorating. And there is a saying to say, in the absence of diplomacy, war erupts, because after Eritrea got its independence from Ethiopia in 1993, it did not just become an independent country, but it also continued to become an opponent, and also to see how the headquarter of African Union, how also African countries are going to deal with situation of conflict, because believe me, if the headquarter of AU, or if a country which is regarded as headquarter of Africa, deteriorate into war, it's not only a disruption in a coordination of continental governance, but it's also a disruption in the trust of the continent, particularly with the external world. And it also says a lot about how do African Union as a continent is also dealing with the affairs of conflict, either in terms of funding peace program, and also in terms of adhering to the continental agenda of silencing the gun, and also the continental agenda of making sure that when it comes to Africa Agenda 2063, by the time we reach into 2063, as it has been predicted and also has been planned by the forefathers of the founders of African Organization of African Unity, which turned into AU, and also the aspiration of African Continental Free Trade Area, is a question of saying, even if there is progress in terms of African Continental Free Trade Area, how are these countries going to trade with each other if, when it comes to silencing of guns in African continent, yes, a dream yet, because everywhere you go, various regions, you see conflict, unending conflict. Some they went even to 20 years, and also become a threat, especially to governance, and become a threat also to continental coordination of programs, either is food security, either is fighting against epidemics, diseases, and also other human relations activities. Remember, with United States of America not withdrawing to some of the programs of UN, this has also affected the African Union peacekeeping missions. That's why now you see, when you look at countries such as Nigeria, and we have been reporting to say, especially last week, boots of the United States of American Army, especially the African Command, is within the area, is within the area of Nigeria, especially to fight in the northern part of Nigeria, to fight against terrorism. But there's something that needs to be considered to say, when are we going to see peace? And if the terrorists are in the northern part of Nigeria, and you also have terrorists in the Horn of Africa, and you also see terrorists in the southern part of Africa, in Mozambique here, and also in DRC, how will this affect the future of Africa? Because there is a saying to say, if a body is at a neighbor, it must be dealt with before it comes to your doorstep. And also to see how other African leaders talk to each other. But that is a conversation that needs to be looked at, particularly strengthening of peace. And there's always a saying to say, if you cannot unite your people, if you cannot move toward a common agenda, there will be no way that you are going to achieve your national developmental plans. And there is always a saying to say, if people are not satisfied, or if the enemy within is not dealt with, then we will forget about the development of Africa. And let us hope that this should not escalate to where it's going. And let us hope that there will be an amicable solution. And also, interestingly, unfortunately, and also not a good news, especially coming from Zambia there, especially where there is a concern regarding the burial of the former president of Zambia, that is Ngarungu. Ngarungu is still not buried due to push and pull, particularly between the family of the late former president of Zambia, who died, last year in South Africa, June there, at the age of 68, and also to see how situations are going to happen, because after push and pull going to court, where the Pretoria court was declaring that the former president of Zambia should be buried at home because he deserve, he deserve status of, a statement. And he was not just a family man, but the family of Ngarungu came up with a counter argument also to see, even if he has to be given state funeral, by the time he was, by the time he died, he was stripped of his benefit. And this is also telling you a deep division, particularly in terms of politics, that also not only good, not only bad for the country, but it's also setting a very difficult presidency, especially looking at the former president of Zambia, still not buried. And there is also an indication to say, when Ngarungu died, he declared that Hakainde Hichilema should not, attend his funeral and should not preside over his funeral. But in terms of state protocol, even if you do not like me, and I'm the head of state, when a person passed on, especially with the status of a statement, the president has to be the chief mourner and has to be making sure that he's presiding over that. But we see how long it's going to be, because there's a bit of a silence, and people are also concerned to say what will happen moving forward, and also to say, are the people of Zambia going to be united politically, and are they able also to deal with their own domestic affairs in a situation that you have two sides? And how can, and it's a matter of question also to say, how can somebody, or how can division become so deep even when somebody has passed on? And what does this say about the future of Zambia, and also the future of, Southern Africa too? To say there is a conundrum, the president, the body of Ngarungu is still not repatriated to from South Africa to his home country. And we see how the situation is going to turn out. But when these things are happening, it's also a question to say, what can we learn? What is the higher degree of political maturity? And what is division in terms of political ideologies to that extent, even into death, can also cause to a country? And also we must watch out to say, there must be a certain level of maturity to say, we do not need to agree or disagree with each other. But we need to make sure that when it comes to issue of personal and critical importance, people must be able to come together and learn from each other. But it's a situation, it's in the hand of lawyers, and the family have hired, advocates. And here the state is also fighting to say, we want to bury our former head of state. And it's not only for certain people, because he was the head of state of Zambia. But yeah, those are some of the developments. However, the conversation for today, we are going to look at local economic development, because when I travel when I move around the country, there is always a question that I'm asking myself to say, did I really get a good perspective about my country? How do people survive in different regions of Namibia? And are we on the same page, especially when it comes to economic survival? And also, how do we view food security? How do we view safety? And also, how do we view human relations? Because when you travel and move around, and you also end up realizing that sometimes what you define as challenges, what you define as poverty, some people are working so hard, or you also realize to say, but sometimes I think I'm very privileged compared to, a majority of Namibians. Sometimes you may be living in a certain city and you are living, for example, in a informal sector. But when you are comparing your life with other people who are living at upper town, you think you are not making it in life. But when you come down and also go deep down, not only villages, go deep down mountains, then you realize to say some people are still continuing with life after all the challenges. And their focus are on survival. And there are actually some of them who are very happy. And they also have an advantage to their lives and growth, particularly looking at the environment where they find themselves. And as I'm speaking now, I'm operating from what is called Pietras Fontein. It's 26 kilometers from Correjas, but deep down, deep down the mountains, there is a community in this environment, and it's around 26 households. And coming here with a media trip of the project of Minister of Agriculture and the EIF, especially when it's coming to purification of water and also giving people borehole, I come to realize to say that wherever you go in Namibia, there is always a business. Wherever you go in Namibia, there is always a logistical arrangement, particularly from the community, and there is always an aspect of human relations. Sometimes even those who are coming to assist us, you can find international institutions coming to assist us. Maybe they also do not understand how we operate, because me touching down at Pietersfontein, I was asking myself, do we have people here in this mountainous area? Do we have businesses here in this mountainous area? And I look at some few goats and cattle, and I realize to say, it could be that these communities do not only have understanding of their geographical area, but they also have understanding of local economy. They also have understanding of how the finance is working, and they also have an understanding of how to regroup themselves to make sure that they continue, surviving, particularly on the ground of real development. And one of the things that I got into one of the things that which make me understand is when I met Madam Swartboy, who is one of the residents of Pietersfontein, and I asked her a question to say, where do you get your food? Why there is a distance between the road and also where you are? How do you buy your items here? What are you eating here? Then I also understand that even in the driest, most driest part of the country, you will find people still pushing, people who are surviving in the, not really to say subsistence farming, but they have a strategy of surviving. And also looking at speaking about 26 kilometers in a mountainous area, it's not an easy thing. It may look easy, but without a gravel road, without proper gravel roads to get to throughout the mountains, and also get to towns in Correjas and also various places, you realize to say that one of the best things that I have heard and I have also observed is that with a few people who have retired and also come to decided to say, we are going back to the places where we come from, having a means of transport, is not only a community asset, but this community, they look at this transport as their connection to the real giant of Namibia economic activity. What they do is that their strategy of going to shopping is coordinating to say, we are only going to towns in on the 25. Every household here, these 25 households, if you have something that you want, we contribute. We pick those necessity and we continue surviving. Then I also come to the understanding of to say, in the situation that somebody got sick, who do you communicate with? They have ways and they have strategies on how to communicate. And I also ask to say, if I come to this place and there is no internet on my phone, how do you guys communicate if you have phones? But they say there is always one house with an antenna. And if you want to make a very important communication, you go to that house and make sure that you communicate. Either is to the authority, either is to communicate to somebody who can come and also assisting you. And I also started understanding that when situation get tough, issues of cooperation, issues of building relation come to play. When the resources also started to be scarce, issues of cooperation started to get into play, because these residents, apart from surviving in cattle and also a few goats that I have seen, they are also surviving in community support. Then one of the beautiful thing, and we are going to listen to the conversation, particularly in the interview with these residents, especially with the community of Pietersfontein. One of the things that I also got is that no matter the situation, there is an element of happiness, because this mountainous area where you also find elephants and also other few wildlife, what they indicated is to say, it's only during December time when the place becomes so noisy. It was indicated that, during December time, the place becomes so noisy, not with a negative aspect, but people who went to towns the whole year, or people went to different cities, they returned home. And I met one gentleman who said, I am retired, but this is where my ancestors are buried, but I have to make sure that, I come and also I stay here when I resettle. And among all the community, and I also started also understanding deeply, especially when it comes to the strata within the community, the strata of a community is the aspect of to say there are always levels, even among the poorest of the poorest. I do not want to say it's a bourgeoisie, but it's really those advanced ones, particularly the retired, who went back and built their houses there and also make sure that they are the anchor of this community. And I was also shocked, because when getting to conversation with few young people who are there, they realize also to say that even the level of English that they communicate is to say that they still have a connection with the world, regardless of the toughness in the community. But what also touched my heart is that apart from the climate, which is a very, it's a thing which affect human beings, climate at Pietersfontein really affected the environment. And you also be able to listen, especially when I'm engaging, to say there was a severe drought which for 2 years, and I tend to believe that 2024 drought has also have an impact in this. And Meme Swartboy said, no, at this area, young people, they ran away. Young people, they ran away, but they also started returning one by one. When the climate also started, changing, there is a bit of a greener pasture, but it's still deep, it's still dry, and that aspect. But interestingly, there is always something that we fail to understand, to say what we look as severe poverty, or what we look as, difficult situation to our people, to them is progress at some level, to say this is not how it has been. those days because we started improving. And they also see that apart from that, there's also an engagement with you know, garment which go through a complaint and go through the most advanced person in that community who can communicate with you know, the authority. And one thing I've also seen is safety, because when people see cars coming to the environment, they don't just let them. They have to come and also ask to say, why do we have to enter this environment without, you know, properly informing us, although there is a line of communication, and they attempt to understand. But I understand that to say there's also an element of protectionism to say you cannot just come with your company car or the government car to a place, but you are not informed. And I was also shocked also to see that sometimes I may look at an individual to say they are just surviving, but they also have a futuristic approach to say there was a certain project which happened in this area, but there were no proper documentation. We want a written agreement that we see, not only being at the headquarter. And one guy who is a regional head, from the region of in the agriculture office, also got into questions where this you know, citizen want accountability to say, okay, we have seen that you guys have developed a purified water tank that is also protected from elephants and also now is good for human consumption, but where are the papers? Where are the papers? On top of that, is also the issue of economy to say most of these people, when they are surviving from goats and also cattle, they also employ each other. To say the most advanced person with many goats employ those with without anything, and also making sure that there's a certain level of agreement that you will be able to pay me. I had my uncle's cattle, and you'll be able also to pay me. And I also ask the aspect of skills development to say, if I ask myself to say, if somebody just dropped me with a helicopter here, how am I going to survive? I ask myself that question. But what is interesting is that, and the gentleman who also you're going to listen to the conversation, is that people developed technical skills through experience. Either it's building, either it's carpentry, either it's, you know, putting things together, because that is the only way that you can survive. And you'll be able to understand that in building of a structure, even when building of, you know, a house made of mud, you have an expert who is doing that for money, and who is also part of a business. But the one thing which also impressed me is happiness, because through connection of nature, through few distraction, people understand serenity. You may think a person is just surviving, but when we are measuring, when we come and if there was a measurement of happiness in terms of this person, they get to say, no, there's no stress here. And people are in love, actually. People, they are staying with their husbands. People, they are staying with, you know, children. And in this difficult situation, the economy, the local economy is still alive. Now the question is that, now, is this a celebration or is something that needs to be addressed? Because looking at Namibia, looking at our developmental priorities, not to exclude how government has come to the edge of assisting the people. But you also need to understand to say, in terms of long term, why do I still see, or why do we still see and have people that are surviving and they look like they're abandoned? In Namibia, if you look at NDP6, do we have researchers and people with data who can come to this environment and also see to say, what is that we need to develop that can be able to be sustainable, especially in terms of food production, safety, and security. So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment, and we are operating from Pietrefontaine, 26 kilometers from Corihas, deep down the mountains, and also to look at the content, and also to see and listen to some of the residents, how do they survive, and also what they want to, and also to say there is always something that you want to change within your community. And you realize to say some people, they are putting more effort in upgrading themselves, but there's always an assistant which is needed, particularly moving forward. So, dear listeners, you are going to listen to some of the residents I got into contact with, particularly in terms of strengthening and upgrading local economic development, because looking at the way we want to get in 2030, yes, we can be cattle elders, but you must have a vision also to say, do we want our children also to live as we are living in this aspect? So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
Yes, good afternoon, sir, and how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. We are here at Pietersfontein. What is your name, and also how have you been around here?
My name is Silvanus Richter.
Yeah.
And I born here at Caretes, and I come and grow up at Pietersfontein Post. Mm. 1986.
Yeah.
I born.
Uh-huh. So, and maybe just before we go to the economic activities, how is your family? Do you have a family? And where are you living? Where are you? How many kilometers from here? And also, what are some of the economic developmental activities which are happening? Maybe let us from the structure of a family. How is your family structure?
My family, we are mostly my mother is in Corihas, and my uncle is in Windu.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's only me. I'm staying at the house.
Okay. Now I see that you are wearing overall. Are you a technical somebody? What do you do for a living? How do you survive here?
Me, myself, I'm surviving from my uncle.
How?
I'm looking at my uncle's coat.
Okay.
Then he's give me something to eat for the
okay.
The months.
Okay. Now, what skills do you have apart from looking after goats? Are you able to do something? Maybe just if somebody have to offer you work to do, what other things do you do? Are you train somebody? Do you have special skills that you can use?
Mostly, my skills are building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working with the guys who building,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still continuing with building.
Mm-hmm.
It's only notice I have it.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us look at areas of economic survival. If I want to get food, I've seen that there are a lot of goats here and cattle. What other things do you do, especially in this area, your village people, for economic development? I see it's a bit dry, but how do you survive? Like, how do you survive in terms of food?
Our surviving is only from our animals.
Mm-hmm.
If we saw we can sell it, then we can sell the goat, then we buy our food. And
so it means that you are eating meat every day?
Not eat, but selling.
Mm-hmm.
Not slaughtering and eat, but just selling and buy food and come and eat.
Mm-hmm. I also want to understand how is the format of business activities here? Where is a nearby shop here? And if you want to buy your items, let me say you get money now. Where do you go and shop? Where do you buy your items here?
Mostly if I get the money now, we are going to Franfontein or we are going to Corihas.
How many kilometers and what mode of transport, and also how much maybe to pay?
The transport from here, Corihas, is 28, and transport from Corihas is 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we are paying to go Franfontein $40, and from Franfontein to Corihas $50.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who is living in a place, there are always those things that you enjoy more. There are always those moments that you are very happy about. If I have to ask you, what is the best moment of your life, particularly living at Pietersfontein, and what do you enjoy most, particularly being here? I know there are challenges, but there's always that beautiful thing that we enjoy being in the place. What is the most thing that you can tell a person being here?
Now I can say, me myself, now I come back last year, December.
Mm-hmm.
Now I started again to living here, how to suffer and get something. So me now, it's in February, I don't know further, New Year.
Okay, now if you have to change a few things, or just two things at Pietersfontein, what do you want to change here, if you are given that power, or what is the basic needs that people are really trying to get here?
There I cannot say, I don't have
a... No. You know, the question is that what is people need here that either is from the government, either is from any other Samaritan, or you guys are fine being here. Yeah.
Now, yeah. Mostly we need it here.
Yeah.
What can I say?
You have electricity? You say what?
Shikunino.
Shikunino is just an agricultural project, a garden.
We need only the garden here, like a project, and then we can get the food there and sell it and eat from there.
Now,
it's only that one.
In the garden, now, what are you going to grow if I have to get an opportunity for a garden?
From the garden, we can get it paddle moons, we can get the tomatoes, paprikas, congomer, if we can plant it, all the things there inside.
Yeah, maybe just the last word in terms of the relationship with people here. How is the relationship and how is the leadership? If something happened, who do you immediately go to? I'm not seeing headman here. I'm not seeing a nearby police. But in terms of authority, how is the structure? Who is your leader here?
Mostly, where you asking, we don't have a leader here. That's why we are having only the leader and Frank von Dien, the Hoffman. If we cannot get the go there, we go to the police station there. Then we get the help from the police station.
But it's okay, there's no criminal activities here happening, right?
Mostly there is no other guys. We are only family here. That's why we are not making crimes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with the business and economic segment, and we are currently deep down Kunene region, and we are at a place called Pietersfontein, and just also a matter of survival, because you see different activities, you see different people, and you also see some new development, and we are going into the conversation, especially looking at human survival. I look at some of the activities which are happening, and I got into contact with some of the residents from Pietersfontein, and deep down, it took us quite kilometers to come here. You cannot come here with a sedan and all these things. So, good afternoon, ma'am, and how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Who are we speaking to, and how is the situation over here?
You are speaking to Andrea Swarboy.
Yeah.
The situation here is kind of good.
Yeah.
Surviving.
Yeah, you know, every person, wherever you are, you know, they are saying home is home, and you survive with what you can. But, you know, let's a bit talk about the project of water. How many people are surviving from this water, and what do you use this water for? Is it only for human consumption, or you also have other activities that you are using, particularly looking at this beautiful borehole which I'm seeing now?
At the moment, everything is fine.
Yeah.
We are surviving, like you said.
Yeah.
And the water, we are using the water for all the things that is to be used. Because previously, we could not use it for human consumption, but we had to survive through with it.
Now, I'm very much interested in developmental activities, especially number one is food. I look at it, it's very dry, but you don't but it's very difficult to understand because you are not from this, I'm not from this area. But I want to see what some of the economic activities here in the mountains. I see a few goats and some few animals. But how do people survive here in this environment? Where do you get your source of food? And also, how do you survive?
We are surviving from our the cattle, the goats we have. That's part of the agriculture development that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And now, previously, the mm-hmm. place was drought stricken.
Mm-hmm.
For the past 2 years now, that's mm-hmm. how you the greenish you see here mm-hmm. is since like the previous 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we have got rain and we see it's coming and coming more,
yeah.
we are planning on gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yes. Now let us look at. Young people, I'm not seeing a lot of, young people activities here. Where are the youth? And also, how do they survive here? Do you have any project? Or how is, the activities for young people over here?
Like I said, the area was drought stricken.
Yeah, yeah.
And most young people went out.
Oh.
They went out to towns.
Uh-huh.
And now that the rain is back, we all are planning to do gardening in this place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you see the 2, 3, 4 of us that you see here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's also one interesting question I want to understand because I'm almost interested in business and development. If somebody has to start a business here at Pietersfontein, what are some of the critical needs, especially at home? What are some of the critical needs and where is the nearby shop here if you want to buy something?
The nearby shop here we have is in Franschfontein, mm-hmm. which is 16 kilometers from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the business we will think of to start is maybe a home shop kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing, just to sustain us in the village, uh-huh. in the nearby villages.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And in terms of school and hospital, what is the nearby clinic here? Because
the nearest clinic is also in Franschfontein, and the school is also in Franschfontein.
Uh-huh.
So the kids from this place are schooling in Franschfontein.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we go to hospitals, we have to look for a car going that side.
Uh-huh.
Or some people fit from here for that 16 kilos.
Okay.
Going and coming is 32 kilometers.
Uh-huh.
That's how we survive.
Uh-huh. Now, you spoke about surviving on goat meat and also cattle. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other agricultural projects such as farming here? We know the place was drought stricken, but now you guys have water. Any other agricultural projects here, or any other, maybe you are, this is mahango or maize or anything that you do to supplement the meat that you guys are surviving on?
Yeah, we have a small garden
uh-huh.
whereby one person decided on it, but we are helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that went out from this place that mm-hmm. are staying in Windhoek,
mm-hmm.
they were here for the weekend
mm-hmm.
and they had a meeting in Franschfontein
mm-hmm.
and whereby in that meeting
mm-hmm.
they raised a point of whereby we the youth
mm-hmm.
want to farm
mm-hmm.
and they must ask a place for us here
mm-hmm.
so we can make a big garden whereby mm-hmm. we will survive from it.
Mm-hmm.
They said they raised that point there in the meeting,
yeah.
but the people still have to come back to us to tell mm-hmm. us the way mm-hmm. forward.
Mm-hmm. Because, every place that you go, you find some interesting thing. And you are at this area. What is the most beautiful thing that we enjoy about and what are some of the changes that you want to bring in? If I have to ask you, maybe what are some of the things that you want to see this place growing into the future? Because we speak about development, but to me, especially as a journalist and a researcher, I see it a bit deep here, but there are some few projects happening. But maybe if we have to start with what is the best thing that you enjoy here that you don't forget, especially here at Pietersfontein, to say, no, this one I love it, this one I will not forget it in my life, and what are some of the changes that you want to see? Maybe the people.
The what I love about this place is the atmosphere. It's open.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned previously, the people, we are farming with goats and things.
Yeah.
But besides the goats, if we are helped to do something, in this area as a development for the community.
Yeah.
We would love that. And if that is, if we are assisted with that, it will give us more interest in coming back to the village. Like I said, most young people went out because of the drought that was here and went to look for work. But if we are helped to make up that garden and the garden is a community garden, then the people, we will all come back to the place.
So it's a very beautiful place here. There is no stress. The atmosphere is good and the nature of vegetation. Now, maybe just the last question. How do you enjoy your birthday and Christmas here?
We enjoy Christmas here very much, like our last Christmas. Those people that went out to search for bread, all of them are coming back when it's December. From the 1st of December until the 23rd of December.
You'll be noisy.
There's only noise.
Oh.
And their people are coming back to the place because it's a lovely place. It's a lovely place. They don't forget their place. They always go and come back.
Okay, and there are also those who decide to say, I'm not coming back anymore. They just come back to their roots.
There is no one who said that they are not coming back. It's a must that they are coming back. Either they have to come with a car of their own, or they have to hike, and come. They are coming.
Now, just before I let you go, when we were visiting this borehole, there is a wall which was built, and there's an indication to say it's protection from elephant. How is elephant and human, I mean, wildlife and human conflict? Do you find any challenge, especially with wildlife, or you guys are coexisting? Or why, how is that situation? And after that, we'll talk about the last, maybe the leadership. And yes, I'll let you go.
Okay. The elephants, like you said, we are coexisting. Before the walls were built, they used to come and do what they do, but now they just came and drink what their water and then left. We only see footprints and their faces here, then they are gone.
They don't get involved.
They don't come to the house. They are there only there in the area, and then we just see the footprints.
Okay. Now the last thing. If you have a main problem, let me say you are not feeling well, or let me say you want immediate assistance, who is the first person to call around here? Because I see distance, I see a bit quiet, but who is the first person to respond to? Let me say you have a situation, because every person, you know, have ways of survival. Who is the best person to contact?
As like I said, we ask the neighbors. We are.
Yeah.
We go to the neighbor, the one that has a phone call, then person from the next village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we said, the people of the next village also comes and ask for help from us. Mm-hmm. So we also, if we have a problem, we also go to those people.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us at the Business and Economic segment, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome.
Yeah, you have heard it yourself. You have heard it yourself. That is what's happening between, you know, this area of Pietersfontein, and also to look at where do we want to get into as a country. It's not a matter of saying there are places that cannot be reached, but there are places that need to be fully connected to the developmental grid. There are places that need to be fully connected to the developmental grid, because if you have to get into communication with somebody who is saying, because of the distance, some of my children, they have to stay home, we really need to do something. And we really need to not only speak for the sake of where we want to get our country to, but also maybe come deep down, you know, the mountains, and also ask ourselves a question to say, these are all Namibians coming from all walks of life, but why life is so slow? Why, you know, they are living like this? And also not really to say there are no development, but also to say, even if you have to ask a constituency councillor, or even if you have to ask somebody who has, you know, authority and power, and also where are the wealthy people of this community who can also be able to come and build, not only as to say a permanent structure, but also to say maybe in terms of, you know, uplifting the infrastructure of this individual. And, you know, being in conversation with some of my colleagues, one say, no, if you look at transportation, if you look at what is happening, maybe it can also be a business opportunity, particularly within the community, to say, if you bring a something like not a tuck shop, but a business with all the needs, then individuals will not be able to take those long distances. And also to say, it's not imperative, it's not crucial for somebody to walk through the mountains and also come to a place of assistance, particularly on the ground that there are still, you know, more things that need to be done. And also maybe a question of saying, when we are doing proper planning, do we really need to, how do we include community members when we are doing proper planning? And the other thing also, people that what they have indicated is a road and you know, infrastructure. But seeing moving from Pietersfontein and also taking from that mountain and also taking a gravel road, I've also observed some development, especially in the construction of you know, a gravel road. But one may also be able to ask to say, why you are connecting people? Why should we not empower our people economically? And I also ask myself a question to say, those development NGO, those development projects, apart from what we have seen, which was done by the ministry and EIF, where are other development projects, and where are other people who are saying are investing in Namibia? And I also have to ask myself a question, because in these mountains, when, for example, something is being discovered underground, particularly when you are speaking about you know, critical minerals, when something is discovered here underground, how many of the investors, how many of domestic business people are going also to run here? And also the question of to saying, now looking at individuals living in these places, and some of them with without skills or semi-skills, at what level are we willing to empower our people? And at what level also are we willing to include those who got less to no education to improve the lives of their people? Because if everybody has to leave because of drought and only have to come because they respect their parents, they only have to come because they respect, you know, where they come from, one may also be interested of asking to say, why can't we, why can't it be done to make sure that development is brought to the people, and also to make sure that you have standing, you know, development that is not chasing people away from their places? Because if this community is united, even through this climate-related, you know, situation, and I also have to ask a question to say, now that individuals have got water, what other developmental projects? Because purified water is an achievement, but is that where we are now when we are speaking about industrializing? And when are we going to get these people out of these challenges? It's not a matter of complaining. It's a matter of reflecting also to say, there are levels of development that we are living in. And when you are in Namibia and you think you are suffering, you need to think twice. You need to think twice, because we did not move and see where the world is. And when we are speaking about food security, can't we develop, I do not want to say a green scheme, because you have heard it yourself that, you know, the citizens, they want agriculture project, the citizens, they want a green scheme. And I've asked also about the level of crimes. I think when everything is tough, I think people come more together. They also become incorruptible, because if we have 25 households and we are far, or if we have 30 households, excluding also those temporary visitors, you must be able to understand that if you hear that some cattle are lost, there's always somebody that you need to talk to. There's always somebody that you need to speak to. But can we really say Vision 2030? is going to be felt by everybody. And maybe it's also a question of saying now that we are here and we are speaking about Vision 2030. How many of our projects, how many of meetings that we are making and conferences that we are making, and I'm speaking about everybody, it's not only a government, it's private sector included in public sector, how many meetings about our problems that we are engaging on, how many of our discussion that we are going to make before we really have our boots on the ground. Because a borehole water is a great imported purified water. It's a great imported, especially which is done by EIF. To me, I think it's imported. But is that all? Is that all? And also to see that communities who are willing to stay where they are supposed to stay, they are not focused on... And when people are speaking about AI, this is a dream to some people. Although we also have those who are... When people are speaking about AI, when we are speaking about EV, when we are speaking about robotics, there is still a community which needs just food to eat. When we are speaking about the nuclear plant in Windhoek, when you are speaking about, other projects such as green hydrogen, there is still a community that needs just a solar panel. There is still a community that just needs a sustainable community green scheme that can be managed. And there is still a community that just needs a gravel road for that matter. But also to say, even though it's inevitable that we, on our way, we see development coming to the people. At what rate? And also, what is the aspect of monitoring and evaluation? Also, to realize that some places, the places of our ancestors, because these individuals are saying they are not, they are connected to this place. And also, what is that need to be done? Either to preserve heritage, because looking at the roads, you also see that there's also a pass through where, I don't want to say foreigners pass by, but those who are interested in analyzing and also see the natural environment of Namibia go through. But do we have achievable plans? And what has been done? My question is always to say, what has been done for many, many years to make sure that Namibians are not only protected, but Namibians are given a chance to live a sustainable life, not in the structure that we see, not at the level of survival that we see, but at the basic of human needs. Because when we say that we are too rich to be poor, too few to be poor, this principle should also apply. And it's my hope that all the leaders too, they got an opportunity also, not only to come to Pietersfontein and see how people are living, but they also get an opportunity also to leave every, settlement, and also to see every settlement and also every community that is affected, every community that is feel abandoned, and also to see one or two things that you can improve, because little to ask, survival mode is not where we're supposed to be. Survival mode, looking at our budget and looking at our spending and looking at our numbers, is not where we're supposed to be. But let us hope that not only the 8th administration, which is having a very clear vision on what needs to be done, let us also hope that we do a little of communique, then we do practical implementation, because they are still at the front line of fighting poverty, even if they have little tools that they have. And dear listeners, it's not the responsibility of only on one party, but you, what you can do, what are you doing to the poor? It's also a question that you need to ask yourself, because you may also understand that if you have a radio, if you have a TV at home, you might also be richer compared to the majority of the people. And in terms of your income too, you may think that you don't have enough income. You may think that your pocket situation is not on standard. But when you start
moving and you start seeing people from different areas, then you realize that you are privileged and it's your responsibility also to make sure that, you know, you engage. So, and what is interesting, I have to understand that the economic survivor does not die. Even that of, at the periphery of development, they also have the means to make sure that they survive with what you can. And it's also a matter of what are you offering. You may not have skills, but your presence in my house where I'm going, travel those kilometers to town, is also a work that you can do. But it's interesting to see, but it's also a matter of not only agency, but a matter of priority to say prioritization is paramount, particularly to all Namibians. And where are we going to start? Where are we going to start? Where are the numbers? And I also ask myself to say, do we really have researchers who come until this point? Or maybe it's only because I'm a bit shocked to see. But yeah, dear listeners, that is it from me, David Shombe. And thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around and sharp, sharp.